Praise the Lord. I am so blessed just to think about some of the things that Pastor Hill used to share with us. And I don't want to take too much time, but I always think of the time when he said this man was called, this brother was called to give a message. And in his love for the Lord, he sought the place that was given to him. But when he arrived, it was at a deserted military base camp. And he sat in the car and he looked around. He said, I really believe that I got the right directions, but there's no one here. So he sat there and he made his way by the power of the Spirit up to some benches or whatever that was available. And he preached with all his heart because he was just convinced that this was the will of God. And then after he preached and said amen, a brother crawled out from under one of the seats, and he had been inebriated. And he said, I love that message. He said, I believe it. I'd like to get saved. And he did. He received Christ in his Savior. And just, they rejoiced. They had a wonderful meeting. 15 years went by. 15 is 3 times 5, the number of grace. And there was a meeting, some meeting for ministers. And they called and asked this same brother that gave the message. And the point is this. The man was called up that was saved by that obedience. A vessel that trusted God. This was the right place. And became one of the most wonderful vessels for the Lord. So that's how I feel tonight. Are you sure, Lord, this is the right place? It's like, okay, praise the Lord. But that was always one of my favorite encouragements. You never know where the Lord is going to call and how many, and he said, where there's 3 or more. So I thank him for every opportunity to share his word. Tonight, I would like to share one of the messages that we've been having in the ladies' Bible study. If you turn to me with Romans 15:4. Here, Paul is telling the Romans about the unity in the church, and there's just so much we can't go into it all, but for whatsoever thing were written aforetime were written for our admonition, which means for our learning, that we through the patience, comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. And this was, we're not going to go into the letters that Paul wrote to the Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians. But this was a comfort to this assembly. At the time, a lot of Judaizers were coming in trying to change their practices and wanting them to be believing and turning to error. So this is one of the things. But saints, this is written to us. The comfort of the scriptures. I just think over and over, I was talking to Brother Joe about the message this morning, which was so precious. But there's no substitute for the word of God. When it comes to scripture, we can call friends, we can call whosoever will listen, and that's wonderful. But there is no comfort like the word of God, and never will be. So we're learning to go to the comfort of the scripture. The word comfort in the Greek denotes indicates to bring forth, soothing, consolation, encouragement, strengthening, refreshing, quickening, and Job mentions some of these things. By God's grace, he has given us his precious comfort through his word. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is powerful, sharpened to its sword. And we know this. And also in Romans 10:17, we talk about faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The truly inspired word of God, rightly divided word of truth. In every situation, experience, and everything you go through, there's comfort from Genesis to Revelation in the scripture. There's not a situation that you can be confronted with that you won't find something in this word to comfort you. In that experience, in that what you're going through. And we're so blessed because, again, God knew that we would need comforting. And in the world we live in today, if you could bottle comfort, if you could buy it, the line would be endless. We live in a world that is so full of confusion, and we need comfort. And God knew that. He knew the scripture would become so dear to us, we'd begin to embrace it because we would live in these times where we'd need to be comforted. And God is just his faithfulness, and we know that. People try to obtain comfort today through every mean possible. And they want the comfort. They want a quick fix. We're not talking about a quick fix here. We're talking about the word that will continue, because as we're the trial of our faith is tested, sometimes those trials extend and we go through them through long periods, which God said we would. And during that time, we need not a quick fix. We need the comfort of the word of God. We need to be sustained. We need to be reminded. God's in control here of my situation. He knows my upsettings, my downsetting and uprising. He knows my thought afar. And be comforted by this. And the evidence of his promises. We are in the end times. And the Old Testament saints there in Hebrews 11, they proved God's word. They proved his promises. They believed them. And as we search the scriptures, we find the evidence, the faith of God's comfort given in our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our altogether lovely one, our bridegroom. And how thrilling this is. What a joy to know that our wonderful bridegroom, our husband, awaits us. Yes, we can take comfort. What about 1 Thessalonians 4:16? There are just days when you just cling to that precious word of God. You just think, maybe you're going through things, or maybe you're just worn. He said, be not weary, saints, in well-doing. But there are times when you just think, is it any moment in the scripture that the Lord would descend from heaven with the shout, with the trump of God and the voice? But anyway, the Old Testament, words to Joshua, we're going to turn to Joshua. And we're going to look at some of the scriptures in the Old Testament. If you'll turn with me to Joshua. And I think my brother Joe mentioned Psalm 46, but we're going to look at that too. But here we find in Joshua 1, in God's telling Joshua and leading Israel into their inheritance out of the wilderness, it's Joshua 1:5. This is his comfort to this precious brother. He summoned him. He told him this is what he wanted him to do, but he didn't leave him without any comfort. It's like Joshua. I was with Moses, a remembrance. And I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thy divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Joshua was commissioned to lead the men, but God was determined he would be confident. And it's wonderful, through his word. How do you think Joshua felt? He might have thought, still a little shaky, but God said, I haven't changed. I'm the same God that led Moses. I will be with you. Have you heard him say that to you lately? I'm in control of this. I know what you're going through. I say, just bear with me. I see what's going on. He's so faithful here. And so, again, he says, make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be not thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goeth. And in 13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest. And he has given you this land. Again, what a God of comfort we serve, we have. In any endeavor that he gives us, you can believe he's going to comfort us. And it may not be, the feelings may not be there, but the word is there. And remember when he told Martha, I just love it. If you can just believe, if we can just believe, we'll find the comfort. And that's what he's saying to us tonight. Be thy comforted. And it just seems like all the messages that I've heard lately has something to do with the comfort or believing strongly in what we're going through. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. We search the scriptures. Again, Psalms 46, I think Brother Joe bought this. And this is precious. Let's turn here. And as Joe was bringing that scripture forth today, I thought, there it is again, Lord. It's so wonderful. But we want to read this. And we're going to talk more about David. And God is our refuge. This is in a time of David's trouble. And the assurance and protection that he needed at that time came only from one source, and that's the word of God. God is our refuge and strength, he's telling us, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And it just goes on and on. And then today, Joe said, brought forth the precious scripture and the word of God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So again, the comfort of the scripture, and you're going to get tired of hearing me say that. There are times, and I didn't look this up, David said one time, and I love this when I first heard it, how long is this trial going to last? How long is this going to go on? How long will I have to go? But in that, he learned, did it really matter? Because God was going to comfort him in every way. The experiences he shares with us, it's just amazing. We'd be here all night to go through some of the experiences in David as he shared them with us. But he did this in Psalms 23. In Psalms 23:4, let's look back. We all know this. It's one of the most read Psalms of David's. And we can understand why in one sense. We cling to these precious truths as he points us to the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Are those words comforting or not? We have a lot of want. We have a lot of need. And as he reminded us in here, and in fact, he even says, and you're probably looking at it, but he says there that he talks about the valley of the shadow of death in 4. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We know what the rod and the staff is, the word of God. And that's where he was saying. It's like in all these things, that's my comfort. And again, he told us about a shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and wanted us to be comforted. And people through the ages have found such comfort in the songs, because it touches on almost every area of life. And then he comes back again and says, remember, he's our shepherd. Have you found him to be that shepherd that David told you about him? Are you finding him to be the shepherd that we read here? Absolutely. So then we think about, he holds us, saints, in his gracious, loving arms. The shepherd does. Just so many times you think of, you need the warm encouragement and you need the warm feeling of being held. And the Lord just, he does that. He does that. In Isaiah 54:17, if we can go there. We can't go through too many, but you can search the scripture. I mean, there's comfort from Genesis to Revelation in this. But in 54:17, and my son Aaron will remember this, the comfort of this scripture, saints, I can't even begin to tell you. No weapon, no thought, no plan, no enemy formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment. How many times that during the course of the things that we went through when the grandchildren were small, did I find comfort and consolation, knowing that no matter what, and it was during custody, the enemy was trying to take the children where we couldn't see them. And every time I walked in that courtroom, I thought, no weapon. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And God's word just comforted to the point where one of the lawyers said, well, what do you think? I said, I know God's not going to allow this. And he said, how do you know? And I quoted this scripture. And my oldest son said, Mom, we're in the courtroom. I don't care. I'm standing on this word. Jesus shall rise against us. And what a comfort. It doesn't matter. It can be a neighbor. It can be, how many situations could we call up tonight where you feel like a weapon is formed against you? At work, on the job, driving. You got to be kidding. We drive in one of the craziest times that it's like that car you got is truly a weapon. It's like, and you're driving. But then we find that God is keeping us. People are running red lights, and that's not what we're here for. But they're actually boldly running lights, just like they're not red anymore. It's like, well, this is my life. But no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And what a precious. And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. There is a minor prophet in the Old Testament. We want to turn there. Ty, I hope this is right. His name is Nahum. Let's turn to Nahum. He's one of the minor prophets there. And actually, his name means comfort. God knew we needed enough comfort that he actually used this man's name. And it was during a time when Israel needed comforting because of the things they were going through. So here he says to them, Nahum, and somehow God had sent his word to them before, but his promise, and we know this story so well. You see, Jonah, this was about Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city at this time. God had already sent Jonah to comfort them, to prophesy to them. We know Jonah didn't want to go. He just didn't understand the grace and mercy of God. It's like they're evil and they're doing everything down there in Nineveh. I hope we never think that, because God is faithful. But anyway, in his reluctance, he found himself in the belly of a whale. And you're talking about needing comforting. I heard a minister say one time there was seaweed and everything else wrapped around that brother. Can you imagine? He cried out to the Lord, if you just let me out under this pressure, I'll go to Nineveh. So he went to Nineveh, and God used him to comfort them with the promise that they wouldn't have to go through any more of this it was just amazing. You can read it for yourself, what they were going through at that time. And then later on, they listened, and we know that Jonah was still upset. Why would God show them so much grace and mercy? So he goes to sleep in a gourd. Read the story. It's so wonderful. But then he sends Nahum 150 years later to tell them the same thing. But he promised them this time all the things that they were going through would not happen to them again. So that's why Nahum's name means comfort. God would go to, do you know what extent God would go to comfort you? There is none. What he wouldn't do to bring comfort to our life when we're in a situation. They were threatened. I don't know if you've ever felt threatened. I hope not. But it doesn't mean anything, because God knows he's in control of the situation. So Nahum did exactly that. But that's what this story, but I love it because his name meant comfort. And God will do that. So we won't spend a lot of time, because you can read this for yourself. And then we think about the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit. He is our comforter. We can all share. We can just have a little Bible study right here about the Lord sending the comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And that's why, you know, he said it was expedient that he should go away, because they needed the fellowship of a comforter. And he knew their fears and their concerns and missing him. And just, we could go on and on. I think again, before I go there, about in Acts 20:32, the Ephesian elders, those people that had authority, they were over the church, the elders there. They loved the ministry of Paul and his love and grace, and oh, how he built them up, edified them in the word of God's grace, and told them that God would, he just edified them. But he had to leave. He couldn't stay there. So he got ready to leave, and he knew they would miss him, and they kissed him. They hugged him and everything. Can you imagine? It's hard to put yourself in that position, but say you've been around somebody that's been such a beautiful comfort to your life. And then we can speak along the lines of our Lord Jesus, too. And I don't want to keep you too long. But you think about what Paul meant to them. But he told them this. He said, I commend you to God. The comfort that you need, that you're going to need, is not me. It's the word of his grace that's able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those also that are sanctified. So you think Paul was comforted in giving them the comfort of the word of God? Saints, I love when someone comes to me and says, sister, God gave me a word to give you. I'd rather have that than any not tale told. It's like wonderful. And if it's not the word of God that they're comforting me with, I wished it was. It's like, I wish you had come to me with more of the word of God, because that's what I need. That's how these elders, but he told them, you don't need me anymore. I've what God sent me here to do is finished. Now I got to go, but I guarantee you, you're not going to be comfortable, because I'm going to give you the word of God's grace. And I just, what a blessing. What a blessing, saints. Is he still giving us that comfort through the word of God, building us up for that inheritance, that bridal, wonderful bridal calling to be ruling, reigning in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus, our bridegroom? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So, but as we think about John, we go back and we think, let's look at John 16, 7. We all know these scriptures, so we're just sharing. But in John 14 and in John 16 is the Holy Spirit and the promise. He says to the disciples, leaving, he knew he had to leave, and the coming comforter that he would send to us. He says, nevertheless, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, this is John 16:4. You may remember that I told you of these things. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But the scene is about to change here. He's about to go. But now I go my way to him that sent me. None of you asking me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Have you ever had sorrow to fill your heart in situations? You just think, I mean, and Lori, I look at Lori, she smiles. There's times when you want to just take your heart out and massage it. That's how deep it gets. Like, if I could just take this out and just rub it, maybe this will come. Hallelujah! Oh, we need the comfort of the scriptures. We come in and just massage and just pour oil. The Holy Spirit just comforted us from head to toe. And that thing would be there. But it would, sooner or later, that comfort would take over. And that's what's so precious. But he told them, he said, I tell you that I go away. Expedient. I need to leave immediately. Not tomorrow. Not today, immediately. Because if I go away, the Comforter, I will send you a gift, the Holy Spirit, to comfort you. He said, someone that you could closely fellowship with, because I won't be here for the fellowship we want to have. Oh, glory. But we have that fellowship tonight, don't we? Yeah. Through the comfort of the Scripture. We have that and more. We have a fellowship of a bridegroom waiting for us, getting us ready to have his best. But he said, when he comes, he said he will teach you, guide you, bring things to your remembrance that's going to comfort you. And that's the word of my grace. That's what he's going to bring. And he said, he's going to be a counselor, an intercessor, an advocate, a helper. Isn't he all of that more? Yeah. Oh my, what comfort through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's just amazing, I tell you. We live the fulfillment of this promise every day, the comfort of the Scriptures. In John 14, 18, let's turn back there. Let's see if I remember. He said, this was a promise. I will not leave you comfortless. How much comfort is that? When he tells you, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. That's a comfort within a comfort. Yeah. I'm not going to do that. Some friend might say, I'll be over at 3 o'clock. And boy, I've got a lot of comfort. We can read books. They may not even show up. You might say, well, I thought you would go. Oh, I said that. But you can count on our precious Holy Spirit. You can count on the Lord. He's there. He said 3 times, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's here, saints. We have the comfort. We have all the comfort we'll ever need. But it's in the Scripture. And this time, are we going to need the comfort even more so as time goes by? I might be knocking on Lori's door at 5 o'clock in the morning. Sis, can we just read something here? But we're believing we're going to be gone. Any moment now. Any moment now. We won't be here to need that comfort. But he's faithful. Again. We will stop here in Corinthians. I just don't want to keep you too long. But the glory of this comfort is so precious. We'll go to Corinthians here. Let's go to Corinthians. And in every book that he wrote, the prison epistles, you'll find in there a comfort, a word of comfort. Every book that Paul wrote to them, there's a word of comfort. The doxology and benediction of those books, you'll find some comfort in most of them, the Galatians, but most of them, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but you'll find words of comfort. As he ends these letters to the church, there's a comfort in each book. But here, 1 Corinthians 14:3. And again, here's another assembly, the Corinthians. Paul needed comforting after he talked to the Corinthians. You're talking about comfort. There was contention. There was division. There was everything else going on in that meeting. Saints, I believe our apostle Paul needed a comforting. Just realizing that it doesn't have to be this way, saints. This is not what God had for this assembly. But in his love, the heart of God is mercy and grace. He comforted the Corinthians. He told them so many things as we read this book about how to let the unity of the Spirit begin to rule and reign in that meeting. And that would comfort him and it would comfort God. He shared that. So here, Corinthians again. And this is the church. At least two factors prompted Paul's letters. First, he had received word from two sources of the division in the Corinthian church. You know, I was traveling one time, and bless their hearts, I saw a church that said the name of the church was Greater Corinthians. And I thought, oh, Lord. Bless their hearts. Bless their hearts. I know they love the Lord Jesus. But in this, he had received word of the incompatibility with the gospel. A lot of series of questions were sent for Paul to answer in this church that seemed so with such unrest. And he instructed them regarding the doctrinal problems, and he urged them in the liberty of giving, the liberality of giving. Collection for Jerusalem informed them of his immediate plan. It appeared to be one of the longest ministries ever in one place, but it wasn't in vain. The word does not return to God, the Lord, in vain. So, we think about all the things that made him sad, I'm quite sure at heart, but he knew that the comfort he was bringing to them was going to be the word of God. That's for sure. And that's what we know today. But here in 14:3, that prophet talks about the prophecy and the gift of the tongues. He talked about one of the greatest chapters of love is written in this book, 1 Corinthians 13. But he talked about the gifts. But he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. How wonderful is it when Pastor Jesse is up here and he's just pouring his heart out, speaking to us, preaching. And he felt the call of the message. And some saying, oh, da la 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 la. And we're like, the Lord said. That's comfort for us, saints. You just bow your head. And it's like, God, don't let me miss a word. That's comfort for us. That's what he meant by that exhortation and comfort. It's not just because we need to have messages. That message is sometimes it's an exhortation and an admonition. Sometimes it is that the Lord wants us to do, to listen. But a lot of times it's just saying what he's going to do or what he's getting ready to do. And we listen closely because he might say, by the time you get to the car, I'll be here. So we want to hear these when they're governed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's for us. That's what these tongues and interpretations are for. They're to comfort us. And we just love them. At least I do. I appreciate them deeply. And Jesus told. So, in 2 Corinthians 1:3, we're almost done. The God called himself the God of all comfort. That's what his title was. One of his titles. The God of all comfort. Have we found that to be true? Yes. He said here, Paul's affliction. Blessed be God, 1:3. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. All comfort. Who comforted us in all our happy times. Tribulation. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort we're with. We ourselves are comforted of God. I think of David, Brother David over here. And he doesn't know how many times he's comforted my heart with my nephew having a brain disorder from an injury that he's used Brother David to let me know that God is faithful through Lauren's accident. This is what these trials we go through are not just for us. They're used to comfort others that are going through the same thing, something similar. Something that we may never understand. But when David, by God's grace, and I don't want to make him, I just don't want to make my brother feel like, I know it's Christ, David, I know, but I just love it, brother. But when I hear that, it makes me know, God, and I've told my sister, he's doing that here in Colorado. Lord, he'll do that with Sherrard. That's my nephew in Michigan. And he is. And so David wouldn't have chosen, or any of us, the trials that we go through. But what a comfort when we can take those same situations and the comfort of the scriptures and encourage someone. Just look up. He's faithful. Keep trusting God. He's not going to leave you or forsake. He's not going. He hears your cry. He's able to do how much? Just a little bit more than what is exceeding abundantly. Above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's how much he's able to do. And I'm going to say, and then some. And then some. We haven't seen nothing yet. Nothing. Oh, my God. That's why. So the sufferings that we go through of Christ abound in us. And the first time I read this, I just couldn't hardly take it. It's like, you mean the comfort is going to be just as much as the trial? Oh, please. The comfort was even more, even now, than the trial that I just was delivered from. The comfort, saints, abound more than the hurt and pain that you've just gone through, because it's the comfort of God. Can you imagine it abounding more? You can't even perceive that. How can this be? Because it's the comfort of God. He's bringing you to the place where somebody will say, it's like, what are you talking about? What trial that I was going through? That's how much comfort. You may not even remember the details. Well, can you tell me? The comfort is so great that that's what he leaves us. He said it would abound. And that word abounds means over. Over and above the trial is the comfort, the consolation. We can look forward to that. We've got to know these things we're going through. The comfort and consolation is there, and it will always be greater. It'll take us to the next step of faith. We can step out to the next step of faith because of the consolation and comfort that we get. And then maybe the next trial is waiting. But the consolation has made us prepare us for the next one. Because as it was said this morning, there's more suffering. We know this. But is there more consolation ready to abound? Amen. Is it? Amen. That's his promise. He promised us. Oh, we ought to be shouting. Praise the Lord. He says, Christ aboundeth, so our consolation aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer, whether we be comforted. It is for your consolation and salvation. You know, Brother McLam, my precious brother, home with the Lord, I used to go to him for comfort. And the first thing that brother would say, and I was so foolish, he would say, what says the scriptures? And I'd walk away and I'd think, is that all he knows? What says the scriptures? And then one day it dawned on me, the Holy Spirit is like, he was telling me, and one day he just said, Jeanette, it's the Word of God. But he could say that because of the things evidently that he had gone through. But he would always say, what saith the scripture? And I got to the place where I wait. It was so beautiful. I waited for him to remind me what says in Scripture. I began to love it just to hear him say that. He was saying, go to the Word of God. It's better than what I can tell you. I can tell you some of my experiences. But it can't compare to the comfort of the Scriptures. What says the Scriptures? He would always say that. So again, abound is beyond and above. And let's look at we'll just close here, but as we look at Revelation 1:3. And then, saints, we know in all of this, he's changing us from glory to glory. He's given us his attributes, his power, his likeness, his ways, his mind. He's changing us from glory to glory. What a marvelous wonder. God said this in comforting us. No matter what we're going through, he said, we will. He said, he's nigh unto those, close to those that are of a broken heart and a broken and contrite spirit. This is what draws him nigh to us. He rushes to our sides is what that means. He understands the pain and the heartache. He's closer than we can even imagine. So we believe this. But in Revelation 1:3, as we close tonight, his word. For some notes here, but I don't want to keep you. Blessed is he that readeth and that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written, for the time is at hand. We're blessed to hear about the word of God and find relief and comfort in the God of all comfort, the comfort of the Scriptures. We're so blessed. And then Revelation 22:7. As we turn there, wonderful. Behold, as we close tonight, what could be more comforting? I come maybe tomorrow. I come quickly. What more comfort could you ask for? He said it's on the way. He's coming quickly. The comfort of his word. Let's stand. I'm going to ask Irma to close tonight.